For 22 years, passenger trains haven't run through southern Idaho. Now a group of train advocates in Oregon want to bring back Amtrak service between Portland and Boise. Troy Oppie reports on how those efforts may be a long shot.
Something about a train that's magic.
Amtrak television commercials in the 1980s showed children playing with toy trains in their bedrooms, urging Americans to ride the rails for family vacations.
And for children under 12, 70% off.
All aboard America.
Riders in Chicago, the Northeast, or along the I-5 corridor out west still have that travel option. But in southern Idaho, the only trains you see carry potatoes, lumber, and other raw materials, not passengers.
We hear from a lot of people, you know, in rural areas where there are trains that very much want to keep them.
John Nuxel leads a group called AORTA, the Association of Oregon Rail and Transit Advocates. Last month, the group organized a meeting in LeGrand meant to spur lobbying efforts for bringing passenger rail service back between Portland and Boise, a section of what was previously called the Pioneer Line.
We're asking people to contact politicians. We think the best way forward is to get a study bill in both Idaho and Oregon about what this would cost.
Nuxal estimated more than 150 people attended that meeting, but these efforts have been tried before. Shortly after Amtrak ended Pioneer service in 1997, advocates rallied support for shorter trains, primarily carrying U.S. mail and parcels, along with some limited passenger service. That plan went nowhere. In 2008, Idaho Senator Mike Crapo was among several sponsors of the Passenger Rail Investment and Improvement Act, part of which required Amtrak to study restoration of the Pioneer. Then, Amtrak concluded it would take nearly $400 million just to revive and improve infrastructure, and ticket revenue from passengers would cover less than a third of annual operating costs. So where would that money come from? There's another important element of the Passenger Rail Investment and Improvement Act, says Amtrak spokesman Mark Magliari.
It said the states are the point of origination for routes shorter than 750 miles. Enthusiasts like the idea. We like the idea of running more trains, more places, more often. But the states are in charge of that.
A spokesman for Idaho Senator Mike Crapo said his office in 2009 asked for a one-year test run of the Pioneer just to prove there was public support for it. Conversations stalled over funding. Here's Magliari again.
I'm not sure a year is long enough, but you know, if the states come to us and say, we want to do a trial or a pilot service that runs along those ways, you bet we'd have that conversation with them.
Republican State Senator Chuck Winder represents West Ada County's District 20. He also sits on the State Transportation Committee.
But it's not going to happen overnight. Even if you had a plan that was in place and said, this is what we're going to do, it's going to take some time. It's going to take some money to have the kind of system that's, you know, people are going to use.
The Idaho Transportation Department crafted the current state rail plan in 2013. It identifies restoring the Pioneer and other local passenger rail projects as goals, and it lists feasibility studies for those projects as a priority. But no studies have been done. Similar studies in Washington state cost $250,000. Beyond the question of money is scheduling passenger trains on busy freight tracks. Union Pacific owns the majority of the rails between Portland and Salt Lake City and says it's already near freight service capacity. Passenger trains get priority while on the tracks, but capacity issues could impact speed, timing, and reliability, says Magliari.
Do they have enough capacity for us to get through and around their freight trains to run reliably on an attractive schedule? That's not a terribly relevant transportation mode if you're passing through there between midnight and 3 a.m.
Meeting Union Pacific's needs for freight traffic could mean double-tracking hundreds of new miles. That's a huge cost, in addition to the $400 million Amtrak said it needed a decade ago. Advocate John Nuxal, though, remains optimistic.
I think the next step is to see if and how local folks work for this, contacting their legislators, forming local chapters, local advocacy group to bird dog this.
Politicians, train companies, and citizen advocates all want to see passenger rail return to this area, but no one has volunteered to pick up the bulk of the tab. And stakeholders are in for the long haul on what will likely be a years-long process. Troy Oppie, Boise State Public Radio News.